Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast. It's Bill, Dennis, Alan, and my buddy Doug, who, by the way, we are celebrating an anniversary, 20 years of us really kind of being friends and hanging out together.
Wow, Doug, you could put up a lot of shit, can't you?
Well, truth be known, he's got a couple things on me and blackmail maybe play a little from some of the stuff that went on 20 years ago.
I think I know a story or two. No,
you might. You might. It's possible. It was fun. It was definitely something to remember.
You know,
I believe Edith and Archie's bunker said those were the days.
Were the days. Actually, when we thought back about it, it was like 30 years ago. Okay, so we were what? How old were we? 30 years ago? 55? That ain't right. 20 years ago. I was like, what? Amen. We were 35. I was like, what the hell? Can't do math.
What's happened has happened, and you just go on and you try to do better in your later days.
That's exactly. So there right. you go. There you but go. Anyway. Yeah. So tonight, Doug is on here because Doug is a huge Rush fan. We had Doug on sometime last year, I think.
I can't even do that. There we go. I
got it. Oh, yeah. Mr. Finger guy. And, We had Doug on before, so tonight we're going to review the 40th anniversary of Rush's Moving Pictures. So
moving across my screen.
Look, moving. If you're watching on YouTube, which the three of you, it's
Dennis. It's more than that.
Okay, four.
It's a moving picture. Right. It's a moving picture.
It is literally. There you go.
All of us are moving pictures.
So Doug, how this works is, why don't you tell it? Well, first of all, you can tell everybody a little bit about how you got into Rush and all that kind of good stuff. And then, because they will not remember from the last time you were on, because there's been so many episodes since then. And
like by 5,000.
Like, I don't know, 375 million viewers.
And you're all world famous now, so.
We are famous.
We're living in the limelight.
Our signs are up in the post offices everywhere.
They are. And some are even in yards.
The limelight.
Anyway.
Left me in the dust since the last time we've talked, that's for sure.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself and the Rush saga with Doug Sabotin.
Well, I know Bill, you and I, Dennis, Alan, not sure about the two of you gentlemen. You look a little bit younger than Bill and I. So we're the same age.
Dennis is the oldest.
Dennis is 50, the oldest.
I'm 55. I was class of 83, so I'm a year older than Bill. So I'm the elder.
Okay.
And Lee. My favorite Kiss.
Elderly.
So it was in that 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old where music really is a significant part of your life back in the day when there wasn't a whole lot else to do. Hung out with a bunch of buddies in junior high. One of my buddies had A Farewell to Kings was the first album I ever heard. And we would go over to his house in the summer and hang out and, you know, go swimming at his pool and raid his refrigerator and just, you know, sit on the couch and talk and do whatever. And we listened to Farewell to Kings and then 2112 and then the original Rush, the first one, Rush, which we kind of did them out of order. But those years, I don't know about for you gentlemen, but, you know, 13, 14, 15, pretty formative years from the 7th, 8th, 9th grade. And so just fell in love with the music, the style of music. It was so much different than anything else I had ever listened to. I was also a huge Kiss fan back then as well. But it's such a contrast from what, you know, Kiss or Aerosmith or Bad Company or Styx or any of the other bands who were pretty famous back then as it relates to rock. So then took a little bit of a break early in high school, got back into it with Moving Pictures. And then my favorite album, Signals, is my favorite of all time. I think that's just because that was when we were well, we're all about the same age when we were.
That was actually my senior year. That was my first concert I ever went to with Rory Gallagher and Rush. You know, and Signals tour. Awesome tour.
You think about, I know we're not here to talk about it, but you think about songs like New World Man or Subdivisions, and I can kind of almost remember where I was when I was listening to those songs. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been a Rush fan. I think I've been to 5 or 6 shows. I did have the privilege. I was telling Bill, and then I'll stop so you guys can chat and I'll stop talking. It was about 10 years ago. They were on tour and I went with a buddy, really good friend of mine, who is more of a Rush head than I could ever dream of being. I think he's been to every show on every concert tour since the late 1970s, early 80s. Anyway, we went to see him at an amphitheater right next to Soldier Field in Chicago. Have you guys ever been to that outdoor?
I know what you're talking
really,
about.
Really, really big. Big outdoor amphitheater, and it's every show I've ever seen of Rush's is an evening with Rush. So there are no opening acts. So it's like three and a half hour show. Well, the first hour and a half was just all the hits, all the songs that you would expect to see. They came back after the break and played Moving Pictures from start to finish, which was really cool to hear that done live. I think it would have been probably 10, 12 years ago.
I saw that tour actually. So, did you? I saw it in Nashville. And like I said, they played, you know, every one of their hits, and then all of a sudden you're ready for the concert to end, and then here's Moving Pictures. Yeah, so I saw that tour. It's great.
What year was that? Do you remember? I couldn't remember.
Shit, Doug. I honestly don't remember. To be honest, I don't remember.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it.
Yeah, I can't. I can't even pull it up.
Well, all right. So how this works, Doug, is we're just going to go track by track, and we will talk about each track. You will go first as the guest, and then we will each talk about what we thought of the track as well. So, by the way, does anybody have anything pulled up about Rush? Because I didn't think about hosting, so I don't have anything pulled up, but I can whip up something here real quick.
My buddy who I texted, his name's Kurt, by the way. So Kurt, if you're watching this, shout out to you. Love you, brother. Go Rush. But I was chatting with him earlier today and he via text and he told me if I looked anything up or if I had anything pulled up, he was going to kick my butt. So everything I have to do from memory.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to.
You can't cheat.
I've listened to this album enough. I've listened to this album enough. I mean, the Wikipedia shit, everybody can find on their own. I mean, give me the, you know, I don't know the date and all that bullshit.
But you need to know the date and all that bullshit. That's what we're
doing. Well, you're
pulling
the
up,
host.
Jackie. I'm pulling it up.
Why Bill's being a jackass.
This is where dickweed and dipshit come in. So
yeah, no shit.
Okay, so Moving Pictures. Let's see. Released February 12th, 1981.
81. Okay. 1981. So I would have been a sophomore. Okay.
Got it. Interesting. I didn't realize this. See, I just learned something. I thought Permanent Waves came after this record, but it was actually before this record.
So no, Permanent Waves was just.
I
know.
Learn something.
Wow. So you're not a Rush fan.
I am not.
I should have hosted this, but that's okay. Well, go ahead. Well, you go ahead. Knock yourself out. No, I want you to
take over, Mr. I don't know how to use Wikipedia.
I want you to go ahead. Go for it.
All right. So anyway, let's see. What else can we talk about? Let's see. We got info as we go through here. We'll take care of that. All right. So let's go. Side one. Song one, I am a Rush fan of. So there you go.
Anyway,
Doug.
Doug's first.
You want to whip out the old Tom Sawyer?
You know, whip it out. Whip it out.
Excuse me while I whip this out, right?
Yeah, you're just whipping out a review of it, so it's going to be really small.
I understand. love the song until it's gotten overplayed everywhere I've been. And back in the day when we were listening to it, I thought it was fantastic. I love how the beat is so driving. The drums are excellent. I just think it gets overplayed a lot. And I know there are so many other songs that I like better than Tom Sawyer, but if you asked anyone on the street about Rush who maybe didn't know a whole lot about Rush, oh, right, that Tom Sawyer song. So for me, it's just, it's kind of like that. You just kind of get tired of hearing it all the time. Probably like, I don't know, Bill, I don't put words in your mouth, but you know, you get the same Kiss song, you know, they start with Detroit Rock City or whatever, they end with it, and you're like, okay, can we, it'd just be nice to be able to talk about something else because there are so many other great songs.
Yep. I totally understand.
So I just, you know, it's a great song. Not my favorite on the album, you know, unfortunately, just because of the nature of it and where Rush was at as they moved from, you know, 12 to 27 minute songs down to 4 or 5 minutes. It took at the right time and, you know, became hugely popular. So you got to give them credit for that. Yeah, the song I think itself is a song about being against the government, right? Or Dennis, you probably know more than I do about that. Mm. But you know, the message of the song.
Yeah, I mean it's whatever you take from it. I mean, it can be taken in any couple ways. So
okay.
Yeah, so that's it. I don't know, minute or two. I don't know how long you usually talk about each song, but.
Yeah, a couple of minutes. We're good. That's fine. You can talk as long as you want. There's no time. There's no time.
Last week we had the last song was like going 3 seconds. Nah, bump.
Yeah. We all four people went.
Yeah, everybody. The person.
So of the seven songs, I would put it in terms of my personal favorite, it would be fourth on the list of my favorite songs on the album. That would be
out of seven. Really? Four out of seven?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Dennis, what do you got?
Okay, so this record here.
The one you're holding up that is Rush Moving Pictures?
Right, Rush Moving Pictures should be framed in a really nice frame and sit right next to the Mona Lisa because it's a fucking masterpiece. And I'm sorry, it is a masterpiece. Now, here's what Rush did. Rush was a prog band. They were a jam band. And the people, and the thing is, it's they're and it's really odd that they were on tour with Kiss, because Kiss was one of those bands you either loved or hated. Rush is the same way. And Bill, I know that you're not a fan of Rush as much as some other people are.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, you either love or hate them. Now, this record here kind of changed that in a way because of Tom Sawyer. Tom Sawyer, and just like, you know, I'm burnt out on it also. That's one of the, it's a great song, don't get me wrong, but it's not the song that I, you know, think this is the best song on the album. And just because it's been burnt out. I mean, it's been, but for, you know, Bill and I have talked about it, and we've all talked about this. You're going to get a record going. This first side, starting out with Rush, here we go, starting with Tom Sawyer. Boom, ching, boom, ching. Yeah, it's just, it fucking gets you by the balls from the first song. I mean, it does. But the problem is they got us by the balls way too many times in a row, and now it doesn't quite get me in the balls like it used to. But you know what I'm saying? It is a great song.
Isn't that part of getting old, though?
And it may be, but it is. I mean, it is. I mean, if you're going to hear a song by Rush, they're going to play Tom Sawyer. I don't care where you're at, where you do, whatever. If somebody does something about Rush, it's going to be Tom Sawyer. But is it a bad song? No, but it is a great, and Bill and I and Alan and I, we've all talked about this bullshit. What a great leading song off an album. It just grabs you by the fucking num-nums right off the bat. I mean, boom. I mean, it's like, boom, wow.
Hashtag num-nums.
Yeah.
I gotta look that up. What does that look
like? I was actually going to use the Cheech and Chong thing where he says, man, grabs you by the, I can't remember what he is when they're in the car at the very beginning. I was going to use that, but I didn't. So num-nums, I'm going to use that. It's going to be my own. But anyway, it is a great song. This is, like I said, this thing needs to be in a frame because it is a masterpiece album, period. And the thing is everything on this album is going to be rated at a 9+. So it's going to be 9 point something to a 10. There's nothing on here that's below a 9. Now, Tom Sawyer would probably be my lowest one on this just because of same way that we talked about. It's been played too much. And that's the only reason that it's bad, because I'm just kind of burned on it. But it's a great song. It's an awesome fucking song. It's a master fucking piece. All right. You know how I'm going to go the rest of the night. So, Alan.
Well, other than the fact that it's been played too much and it's a good song, I don't have anything else to add, except I would not make this the lead-off track. This, for me personally.
Really?
And for anybody that knows, I'm not a Rush fan, but I don't hate Rush. So when you say you either love Rush or hate Rush, I'm going to disagree with you there, because they have about 15 songs that I do like.
Okay, so you were going to do a lead-off, what would you do?
We'll get to it.
Okay, I got you.
Damn it, my train of thought derailed, Dennis. Gee whiz.
Sorry.
I know what I was going to say.
Squirrel.
Not being a Rush fan, you know, I've never listened to this album until today. And I listened to it once this morning. And then
Are you serious?
And then I came back and listened to the album again after lunch. What's the matter, Dennis?
I can't believe that.
Well, now you know. But having said that, I enjoyed both listens. But, you know, like I said, Tom Sawyer has been overplayed. It's still a good song.
It's
kind of like you and Shook Me All Night Long. Today, when I listened to it the first time through, I listened to the whole album all the way through. The second time I went through it, I skipped Tom Sawyer.
And that's true, like I say. But, the thing is, Tom Sawyer was the... Because the thing is, there were Rush fans for many, many years. And Tom Sawyer actually was the first song that brought a lot of different people into Rush fandom. And then they played the shit out of it. You understand? I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's one of those ones that it was a radio hit, because, you know, Rush was never a radio band ever. I disagree, though,
because I got into, I'm not a huge Rush fan. I like the singles.
Right.
I have no
Tom Sawyer, you got to say, is their biggest single.
It may be their biggest single, but that's not my favorite Rush song.
Right. But it was the biggest single. It was the one that got people to listen to them.
I think it helped people listen to them. I don't know if it got people to listen to them, because I think there were songs before that did that too. I mean, Spirit of the Radio, you know, Free Will and Spirit of the Radio, both of those songs to me were as important songs.
Yeah.
Not as Tom Sawyer.
If you were a rock guy, yeah, you would have liked Free Will. The general public didn't know about Rush until Moving Pictures and Tom Sawyer. Tom Sawyer got Rush to the public. The people that didn't listen to the hard rock stations or listen to prog rock stations. This is the one that was the entrance to them. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's an opinion. Okay. All right. So my take on Tom Sawyer's, I like Tom Sawyer. I think it's a good song. It is one of my favorite Rush songs. I don't know that it's been overplayed or not. Every time I hear it, I think it's a cool song. But there's a whole lot of songs from that time frame that I skip over when I, you know, it comes on, because I've heard it, like you said, 1,000 times. But I do like Tom Sawyer, and I will listen to it when it comes on. I think it's a pretty good opening track. I think there are other songs on the record, and I'm interested to see what Alan says about what his opening track was. But this would have kept me at least listening to track number 2, which it did, which is good. All right, so Doug. Let's see, track number 2. So track number 2 is Red Barchetta. You're muted.
I won't put you on the spot, but do you know what that is? Or did you look that up, Bill?
I did not look that up. I did not. Yeah. I have no knowledge.
It's a kind of car, right, Dennis?
If you paid attention to the lyrics, it should tell you what it is.
Yeah. I listened to it. I didn't like dissect it. It was plain.
So my good buddy Kurt told me I couldn't do any research on this. So I don't know, Dennis, I'd have to ask you as the resident expert on the podcast, did Red Barchetta ever make radio play, significant radio play? I don't think it did.
I honestly, I don't know. I don't think it did.
But
I honestly don't.
But I don't know that for sure. I know that it's about if memory serves, it's about a 7-minute song, but the first 90 seconds and the last 90 seconds are instrumental. So if you take 3 minutes out, it's about a 4-minute song. This is my favorite song on the album. I love the part of what I love so much about Rush is not only the fact that, in my opinion, Neil Peart is the best drummer of all time, and that Geddy Lee is one of the best musicians of all time. Playing with his feet, playing bass, and singing lead is not easy to do. That Alex Lifeson is amazing, and the guitar segments of this song to me are what make it my favorite. The harmonics, if you go back and listen to the song, if you've only heard it a couple times, Alan or Bill, the harmonics on his guitars, every time I hear them, give me goosebumps, no matter how many times I listen to this song. Another thing that makes it my favorite is my good friend Kurt is a car enthusiast, and the song is essentially, it takes you on kind of a journey as if you're driving on a country road in a sports car. And so if you listen to it from that perspective, it's really cool. My buddy Kurt has a really fast car. I can't remember what it is, a Subaru or something like that. One of those turbo cars. A few years ago, we went out driving in it in the summer, put the windows down, puts the song on. You can just close your eyes and you can almost feel how that song takes over as you're driving. And then a couple of years ago, I bought a older 2007 Saab 9.3 turbocharged convertible. And I, from time to time, would go down to pick up my son from high school on the interstate, and I would put that song on, put the top down in the late spring or late summer. And it's just special to me in that way. So my two suggestions would be, for those of you who don't know a whole lot about this song, listen to it again and pay attention to the harmonics of the guitar because they're amazing. And then if you ever get a chance to drive within the speed limit, of course, in a convertible in the summer, put the top down and turn this song up to 9, and it will take you to a different place. I promise you. I love this song. Love it. One of my favorites of Rush, of all their music.
Cool. Yes, it is definitely a car song. I've been reading about that. I'd forgotten. I knew that before. I'd just forgotten because we talked about this before, I think, when you were on last time, and I just seemed to have forgotten. So, all right, Dennis, what do you got? Best song ever. 10.
Actually, it is my second favorite song off this album. And like I said, just for the fact of, I just love the guitar harmonics at the beginning, because like I say, you come in, Tom Sawyer just hits you like a brick when you come in and they do all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, then it you know, Tom Sawyer fades out. Then you got Red Barchetta, you got the harmonics. This album is three of probably the best musicians playing together every song. I mean, it is, like I would say, it is a masterpiece. Big frame around it, right next to the Mona Lisa. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, the song itself is just unfucking believable. It's one of those songs I do not get tired of listening to. I love every second of it. I think it's just a masterpiece. I really, 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 really like it. Now, I have a BMW Z3 convertible, and I have put this disc in and listened to it driving at about 85, 90 mile an hour. It's I mean, it works. It works. You got to experience this song along with, because it is and the thing is, just imagine this. I mean, with electric cars coming along And a lot of these companies, Ford and everything, saying in 2030, we're going to be getting rid of gasoline cars. You know, the red Barchetta in a barn, the old gasoline law, you know, those, we're not far from that. You know, this is something that I listened to in the 80s and was laughing at, and now it's almost becoming it's becoming true. You know, so there may be that my uncle had an old car in a barn and gonna let me just drive this thing because, you know what, battery cars aren't fucking fun. We're gonna start this thing up and we're gonna crank it and go for it, you know. So that's my take on it. Great song.
This is the song. This is the song I would have started the album with. I really like this song.
You would have flipped him?
It's about a car. No, I did. I really enjoyed this song. And I thought, you know, if I was putting the album together, this would have been the album opener. And yes, those two songs I would have flipped.
It's kind of odd because, like I say, it's just kind of it's a soft opening. I mean, you're not getting them by the balls.
That's not always a bad thing.
Yeah, maybe not.
Just don't mess with the num nums quite yet.
All right. The num nums.
You started it.
You know what, though? You know what? That actually, now that I think about it, because you know how that kind of fades out as a do, 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 do. And then if you would have come at it, boom, with Tom Sawyer the second, that would have got you by the num nums also. You know what? You're not so far.
I think
off,
you got Alan. A theme going on there, buddy.
Yeah.
For me, I like this song too. I think it's a great song. Whether it was one or two, I don't think it mattered, but I do like this song. So good stuff. All right. So let's talk about YYZ. And I'm just going to read what it says so we don't get any crap. So instrumental titled after the IATA airport code for the Toronto Pearson International Airport. Its rhythm is that of the letters YYZ in Morse code. So there you go. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Did not know that.
Yes.
No. I knew that.
There you go.
Okay.
So they wanted to do another instrumental like they did on Hemispheres, but they wanted something a little bit shorter. So that's why it became a little short. So there you go. All right. There you go. Mr. Doug, what's up?
Number two on the album for me. Love the instrumental songs, and you kind of commented on why I like it so much of their other instrumental work, or when they have long introductions or long outros, they just go on forever. This one doesn't. It puts you on the edge of your seat in the first 5 seconds, keeps you on the edge of your seat. When I think of this song, when I hear this song, I feel like I'm on a roller coaster, because the song changes key signature, it changes tempo three or four times throughout the 4 minutes or so, and the driving guitar is just fantastic for me. Hearing a song that's an instrumental that goes on for 7 or 8 or 9 minutes, you're like, okay, I'm done. But it's just enough. It's just enough. But there's a real sweet spot here. And watching this live, or, you know, we can't do that anymore, but you can pull it up on YouTube and watch. It's really, really cool to watch Alex play this song, because it changes key signature 3 or 4 times in 4 minutes. I still don't know how they do it. I'm with you, Dennis. Arguably three of the best musicians in the history of music. So this would be number two for me on the album.
Dennis.
All right. So I have to clarify, where did I have Red Barchetta at? Where did I say? Was it number two?
I didn't
write
it down.
Well, I'm going to put it at number three. I'm going to put YYZ at number two. I'm the same. I'm telling you what, you can't get three better musicians together and play this. I've heard tributes. I've heard other bands. I've heard a shitload of really, really, really fucking good musicians trying to play this song. Never heard it done as good as Rush has done it. And I've seen them twice, and I'm telling you what, they are just absolutely on. I mean, the thing is everybody shines. There's not, and you know, as one person sits back and sits in the pocket and does what they wanted to, you know, what they're supposed to do. You got another guy, you know, Getty's out there playing the bass. And then of course he sits back. Actually, Getty really never sits back. Getty's just fucking just tearing it up the whole time. But, you know, and then it's just, and then the thing is, as he's playing that, you know, the people are playing, you know, pedals and all. It's just unbelievable. It's something that I actually, a buddy of mine, we Rod and I have played this before, just him and I without a drummer, just playing along with the thing. We haven't even started to get close. We've tried a million times, dude. It's a great song. And I mean, and the thing is, you're going from Tom Sawyer to Red Barchetta, which kind of cools you out. Then you're throwing YYZ in. And we've talked about this, where how you stack an album. YYZ now is just kicking you in the fucking nutsack, big time. All right, I know. Gentlemen, Bill's gonna have it.
I think we have a theme.
Wouldn't that be the nunsack?
Nums. Yeah, the num nums, kicking the num nums. All right, Bill.
How about Alan?
Oh, I'm Alan. Sorry.
You're not the host, Dennis. Shut up.
Oh, well, I'm
I'm not a big fan of instrumentals in general, you know, and like Doug said earlier, they're usually too long, and you know, I don't give a shit. But this is one of the three instrumentals that I really, really enjoy. And I did know this song before I listened to this album today. But you know, if you have no respect for this band because they're a prog rock band or whatever, just listen to this and pay attention, you know, because there are a few times in this song where every one of those guys are hitting the same note at the same time. You know, the drum fills is, and so is the bass and the guitar. So, you know, that's totally impresses me. So I like Rush a little bit more than I did this morning. Thanks, guys.
So my take on this is I'm kind of like Alan. I'm not a huge instrumental fan, but to, you know, what you guys have said already, three of the best artists in every right of their own right together on one song, I mean, you know, on this song is incredible. It's not something I would listen to all the time because it's just not me. It's great background music to do stuff too, I think. And for me personally, but I definitely like the song. It's just it's you just have to respect the I don't know, the ability that these guys have to do what they do. It's amazing. It really is. And unlike some of the stuff we hear today on the radio, it wasn't done with auto tuning and tracking this and tracking that and changing this and moving all these things to where they were all the same. It's the skills of the people doing it, not the person sitting behind the key and the mixing board necessarily. So definitely respect for the guys in this song. I do like the song for sure.
Well, and one thing else, Bill, is this is one of the songs that they use in their playlist. I mean, they play it live all the time, and they're not trying to hide anything. I mean, they love to play the song.
Oh, and I've seen that from videos from them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's people that do instrumental kind of stuff and then they never play it live because they just can't do it.
Because you can't do it. Yeah.
This is one of the ones that it was just a normal song. We're going to just show off what we can do and boom, they did it. So,
yeah. Cool. All right. So the next song, last song on this side is Limelight, which was another single that was put out. It says the lyrics to Limelight are autobiographical and based on Peart's own dissatisfaction with fame and the intrusion in one's personal life. The song contains two self-references. The first one is the line, "Living in a fisheye lens, caught the camera eye," references the album's following track, "The Camera Eye," while the line, "All the world indeed a stage, we were all merely players," references the band title of the band's first live album, "All the World's a Stage." Itself taken from a William Shakespeare comedy play, As You Like It, which is very interesting because one of my favorite actual documentaries of all time is Beyond the Lighted Stage. That is an incredible, whether you like Rush or don't like Rush.
Right.
Watching
it's a well done documentary.
It's incredible. And watching it, kind of getting the whole, you get the whole thing and you get, they're just all three really super intelligent guys that made magic together. Really. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Whether you
the other thing real quick before we all get started is you were talking about the lyrics. Was the fact of, you know, of course, you know, Neil Peart did a lot of the lyrics, and he was a very, you know, he was a loner. He didn't like the limelight. And then he made the comment on this, you know, a long-awaited stranger is a, you know, long, or sometimes a stranger is a long-awaited friend. He didn't like people coming up to him and say, "Hey, I'm your, you know, I love what you do." He didn't like the limelight. He never was one of those people. And that's one thing that he always tried to, you know, you always seen Alex and Neil, or not Neil, but
Getty
would do all the interviews. You know, Neil just didn't want any part of that. He didn't like that. So.
Yeah. All right, Doug, what's your thoughts about Limelight?
On the album, it would be my third favorite, just ahead of Tom Sawyer. I think Limelight for me, is similar in nature to Tom Sawyer, except it did not and has not gotten as overplayed as Tom Sawyer does. I mean, if I can't say anywhere I go, but with people who are our age, generally men who are our age, if I go down, 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 everybody knows that, right? I mean, it's just the opening to that song and then the way that carries throughout the song is really special for me. And the thing I like about it is it's a great song, but it didn't get as overplayed. So like I'm with, you know, you guys, when I hear Tom Sawyer now, I mean, it's an amazing song, but I'm like, I don't need to hear that song anymore. Maybe once a year, however, but Limelight's not like that. And then about 2/3, 3/4 of the way through the song, if you go back and listen to it, if you've only listened to it a few times, the guitar solo in that song is very, very special. There's something really special about the way Alex plays the guitar solo about 2/3 of the way through the song. And the last thing I like, the thing that resonates with me a lot, I mean, you guys can make fun of me if you want. Bill, you probably will tomorrow. But Dennis, Allen, you can't. I had to take some creative writing and poetry classes in college, and the lyrics really resonate with me. If you think about life, you know, he refers to the gilded cage that we're all in, and what you said earlier, all the world's a stage. We are merely players, performers, and portrayers, which really, if you think about it, whether we're at work or wherever it is that we are, there's some truth in that. And I just love the fact that they speak the truth, and it's in a song, and it's in a rock song, and it's in a rock song that I really like from a band I really like. So I love how they've taken, you know, this poetic liberty. Some of the stuff Neil writes is a little bit over the top for me. It's like, it's pretty deep, but for me, this one really resonates with me. If I listen to the words, I'm like, yeah, you know what? He's pretty spot on as it relates to, you know, this whole idea of a fisheye lens and being on a stage and needing to be mindful of that and being humble. And, so yeah, that's why the song would be third on my list, just ahead of Tom Sawyer.
What's funny about that lyric is I used to always think he was saying a fish island.
Fisheye. All right, Dennis.
It's one of these songs, like I said, fortunately that they didn't play it as much as Tom Sawyer, so I didn't get burnt on it, like, because it is a great song. And being a Rush fan that I am, I know of, you know, knowing that Neil wrote most of the lyrics, and this is him saying that, you know, he's not in the limelight. He doesn't like being in the limelight. He's never has liked being in the limelight. We talked about that before. Song wise, I love it. I do like, and you made a comment about the solo in it. The guitar solo is very lonely. I mean, when he starts that out, it's kind of like this. He doesn't know where he's going. It's like, but then at the end, he gets all built up and gets into the high notes. I like that part about it. Like I said, I think that you got three first class musicians playing on this album, and you know, I mean, and it is a masterpiece. Did I say that before? But anyway,
I think you said that once, 350 times.
But anyway, Limelight is my. Where am I at on my favorites? I'm completely lost.
This is your
numbers, dude.
No. But anyway, what a way to end a first side. This is what I'm going to say. If you're going to stack a record and go for it, I mean, you had Tom Sawyer, you blown it out. Red Barchetta kind of slowed out, kind of going into it. You got YYZ just fucking pounding that shit out. Then Limelight's a great pop kind of, not a pop song, but a popular kind of sounding song. Wait a way to end the album.
That's side anyway. Yeah.
Side one. That's what I'm saying. Side one. So now we're going to go to side two in a little bit.
Right. Alan, what'd you think of the end of side one?
I think the end of the side one should have been the beginning of side two. Limelight is my favorite song on this album. Don't look at me like that, Dennis. I said what I said. No, but I'm gonna have to go back and listen to that guitar solo, because I never, you know, I don't typically pay attention to those solos and things like that. So, but yep, this would be song one, side two for me.
Yeah, I need to listen to that, because it's got a haunting sound to it.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I don't know how you guys' screens divided, but mine looks like I'm on the upper right and Alan's on the upper left, and Doug and Dennis are below us. And it's just very interesting, because at least from my perspective, Alan and I are kind of thinking the same way.
No, I'm in the middle. I'm actually in the middle.
Well, Doug's I'm just telling you from my perspective. I know it's not the same on everybody's. So, but it's just interesting that it's set up that way, because we're thinking very similar. I was gonna say something very similar, that I thought that this needed to be on the second side of the record somewhere. Opening would be great. I agree with you 100%, Alan, because after this song, yeah, it's over. So I did. Limelight is a great song. One of my favorites. Again, it's a Rush single, so it fits on the Rush singles thing for me, that I like all of them, really.
Is the second side will be an interesting conversation.
It's going to be short for one of us.
I'm sure it's you.
Oh, I'm sure. I just said it's going to be short for one of us.
All right.
So there you go. All right. So let's flip it over to a 10-minute song. It's actually 2 5-minute and some odd songs. But so The Camera Eye is a 2-part track with sections unofficially titled New York and London. Peart wrote the lyrics after taking walks in both cities, recalling observations and the rhythms he felt in them. It remains the band's last song with a duration of over 10 minutes, a frequent occurrence in the earlier albums. The title refers to short pieces of the same in the USA trilogy of novels written by American writer John Dos Passos. One of Passos' works was that Peart admired. In the beginning of the track, we hear a bustling New York City and a man saying, "This is it, Mac. How about a tomato and fresh fruit?" This is an audio clip from Richard Donner's 1978 Superman. Interesting. Had no clue. What do you think, Doug?
So if you ask me who my two favorite bands are of all time, Def Leppard and Rush. So I am a huge Rush fan, and have been listening to them since I was 11 years old. Gonna have to agree with Bill on this one. Camera Eye for me is okay. I like how it kind of takes you in and out, but there's kind of that whale sound that they have. I don't know how else to describe it. This whale sound that takes you in and out of the different chapters of the song, because it's as long as it is. But they lost it for me on the second side. I like Camera Eye as a song, but then as we get into the others that we'll talk about here in a few minutes, for me, it's all about side one, Moving Pictures. Those four songs, four of the best, you know, if you had to say what were your top 10 Rush songs of all time, I would put all four of those on the top 10 list. So, you know, just acknowledging that you can't swing and hit a home run with every song. I like that they do some experimental stuff, but for me, this is where it starts to kind of crumble a little bit. So, that's pretty much all I have to say about Camera Eye. I would put this, though, this would be my fifth favorite on the album.
All right. Dennis, he loved it.
Favorite song on the album? Because it gives me that Rush. That gives me the stuff from the albums that I grew up on. And, you know, just a little bit of background. My best friend from kindergarten through high school was my roommate through Bill was at our apartment at one time. Matt, my friend Matt DeVille. I mean, we were biggest Kiss fans, but then of course he got to be a Rush fan. He got kind of lost it on Kiss and got into Rush. And then being that he was a Rush fan, being that we're best friends, I listened to what he had. Of course, you know, he started out with the early Rush. And so I'm used to the 16 to 20, you know, 30 minute whole side, 21, 12 kind of stuff from Rush. And, you know, Camera Eye is a great song because the first, you know, the first sign gives you that kind of, you know, this is what the new Rush is going to be. We're going to do these 3 minute, you know, 4 minute songs. But here on the backside, let's give you a little bit of, let's give you a 10 minute song to start out with. And it's a great song. There's nothing wrong with the song. You know, it is, the thing is, it's just like I was saying earlier, Kiss and Rush are the same type of band. You either love or you hate them. And if you love Rush, you're going to like Camera Eye because you just love what Rush does. And I'm one of those people. So, I mean, you can't, you know, make, you know, I'm not a bad guy for doing that. It's just, but, you know, like I said, I love this song. So, best song on the album. All right.
Wow.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. No, it's just, there's no reason to be sorry. Just,
because it reminds me of the old Rush.
Never apologize for being wrong.
No, and the thing, yeah.
Right. I'm kidding.
Oh, let me give him a spoiled finger here. There you go. But no, it's one of those things where it just reminds me of the, you know, the Farewell to Kings, the 2112s, we want the 10-minute songs. You know, every once in a while you need a 10-minute song.
Never.
And some people don't like that. So anyway, I like it.
All right, Alan, what do you got?
I thought the song was okay. I mean, I'm not a big fan of long songs like that, but nothing in this song stood out to me as a thumbs down or anything like that. Overall, I enjoyed it. And that's all I got to say about that.
I wrote down self-indulgent. Just because I just felt like it was just watch me noodle. Here's what I can do. And that's okay if you're a Rush fan.
But the thing is, if you were a Rush fan, you would actually be happy with the song because it actually wasn't a 3 minute song.
I think what you're saying is if you like those songs from Rush.
Right.
Because you can be a Rush fan
sure,
and not like those songs from Rush.
Right.
Can you not?
But this is the first album they ever did that they were doing 3 minute songs. Really? I mean, look, am I right on that?
Well, they don't have a 3 minute song on this record, dude. I'm telling you.
No, but so I'm saying shorter songs.
What do you mean? Yeah,
no, radio hit. Yeah. Radio hit type songs instead of, like, I mean, they had Working Man, which was off their first album, but they didn't, you know, 21,
they've had a sprinkling in all of them that have been shorter songs. I mean, this one here was
set for radio. This one here, they went, okay, the first side, we're going to do radio. Second side, we're going to do.
It's going to just be the same stuff we've been doing before. Which
that people.
That's self-indulgent. Okay. Anyway, So we're good. Okay. So let's see. So what's the next instrumental on this side?
Oh, really? Witch Hunt.
Witch Hunt's the next
Yeah, I'm just trying to. I'm trying to roll up to it. It's Witch Hunt. Witch Hunt opens with faint voices, which Lifeson explained were recorded outside Le Studio in sub-zero temperatures. Huh?
That place is burnt down, too. It burnt like last year. That's sad.
I don't know. In sub-zero temperatures with the band and others shouting in a humorous way and sound effects produced by a synthesizer before transitioning into the song proper. It features cover designer Hugh Syme on synthesizer and double-tracked drums in one verse. Witch Hunt would become part of the Fear series of songs, which includes The Weapon from Signals. Doug? The Enemy Within from Grace Under Pressure and Freeze from Vapor Trails. So, Doug, what are your thoughts about Witch Hunt?
Yeah, with everything that I've said up to this point, I don't have a whole lot to add. I'm not a fan of this song. I just don't care for it a whole. I mean, I'm a huge Rush fan, but and I appreciate, Dennis, what you're saying, because I love the Farewell to Kings in 2112.
Right.
There's just something about it, just didn't fit for me. I don't know. It just didn't fit. And yeah, I've tried to listen to it many times over the years, and I'm just not a fan of the song. So yeah.
Okay.
But so I agree with what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying, Dennis, though. It's almost like the second side was them trying to remind themselves and remind the people who were fans of theirs. These are our roots. So let's not lose sight of who we really are, even though we know we got to pay the bills by making these 4-minute songs. So yeah, which you got to respect. You have to.
Well, and they went from this album to Signals, right? So, you know, Signals was a huge hit for radio. I mean, they were testing their, you know, if they could do it or not. And they figured out that they could do it. And like I said, I think the second side was a kind of an homage to, you know, this is what we've done for a while. We're going to do the, but the thing is Witch Hunt, you know, Camera Eye was about a 10-minute song, and Witch Hunt's not as long. And of course, Vital Signs, and we'll get to that, is not even as long as that. Witch Hunt for me is okay. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I don't turn it off because it's just another faction or just another side of Rush. You know, I've had the pop side on the other side and some cool shit. So we're going to, you know, thing is, I just like everything they do. I honestly, there's very few Rush songs that I don't like. Until, now here we go. Until you get to like Power Windows and we start getting into the more synthesized stuff. That's when actually, Signals was the last album that I really, really, really liked. The rest of the shit, I've got, I actually have Power Windows, and I have, what's the one, Grace Under Pressure? And I'm not a big fan of that either. I mean, it's just, they got a little bit too keyboardish, you know? And Alex Lifeson will even talk about that. You know, he's not a fan of their own band in those days. So
they weren't using their num-nums.
They weren't using their num-nums. Exactly.
But I don't think you're a fan, because you're going to be a fan of all their music. You said that earlier.
No, no, because I'm a great big fan of Kiss, but you take out the 80s, about five albums there. I don't give a fuck.
Take out one. You can
take a bunch of them out of that, actually. So anyway.
All right. Alan, what are your thoughts?
This song was okay. I mean, nothing stood out as extraordinary or exciting, but nothing stood out as this is a piece of shit either. So, you know, overall, my experience with it was enjoyable. I wonder though, Doug, you know, maybe one of the reasons that you don't like the songs on side two is because with this album that they did make a conscious effort to be more commercial. Maybe that had something to do with that.
Maybe, yeah. I hadn't really thought about it like that. Have to give that some more thought.
Yeah. Okay. I have nothing to add. I'm gonna do the Alan version. There's nothing left to say. I have nothing to add.
Y'all said what I was gonna say.
That's what happens when you host. You get to go last. You go. I got nothing. All right. So the last song, song number seven, well, or depends on what, how many, it depends on how you're counting.
Well, it's either seven or eight.
It's seven.
Vital Signs features a sequencer part produced by Oberheim OBX synthesizer, and shows a distinct reggae flavor. Reggae influences in Rush's music were first heard in On Permanent Waves and would later be heard more extensively on the on their next two albums.
Right.
So what are your thoughts, Mr. Doug?
Yeah, and I actually had never really thought about it until, Alan, I think you said something earlier. It would have been interesting to see how much different this would have all worked if they would have moved Vital Signs to the first side and moved Limelight to the first song of the second side. But I think Vital Signs fits a lot better with what's on the first side. It's a good, to me, I like this song for the same reasons that I've shared the others. It's, I like that reggae. The other Spirit of the Radio is the other song they have the reggae influence on at the end. And I like that. I like that they experiment with different styles of music. And for me, this is a good song. I would put it fifth on my list just because the other four on side one are so good. It would be interesting if they would have moved this song to the first side, if it would have gotten more radio play or been more popular. Because for me, it's a pretty good, solid rock song.
Cool. Dennis.
Actually, you know, that now that you say that, that would have been a really good deal to do that. And the thing is, I like Vital Signs. I think Vital Signs is a really good thing. And you're talking about, you were talking about the studio earlier on was with Lee, was it called Lay Studios or whatever it is in Canada, which actually burnt. And I think it's in the last one or two years, it burnt down, but that video was actually a couple of the Rush videos were recorded in that studio. And it's one where Neil Peart sitting there in his drums, and they got the big glass. You can see the snow behind him there. I don't know if you've ever seen those videos. Anyway, but that was recorded in the Lay studio, but they ended up burnt down here a couple of years ago. But yeah, add Vital Signs. I would put Camera Eye in at the put it at the end of this album. If you're gonna have this long 10-minute song, put it at the very end of the album. Just let it and then let it ride out and do that. I would have put probably I would have put Witch Hunt on the other side at some point, actually put it between Ray Bertretta and YYZ, brought Limelight to the front of set two, and then put I think I've been the way to do it. Anyway. But I mean, I like Vital Signs. I think Vital Signs is a great song. I mean, it's a short it's a 4-minute song.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting back to that point. But I think Witch Hunt should, or not Witch Hunt, but Camera Eye should have been at the end of the album. Just let it finish out with one of their kind of classic 10-minute kind of songs and let it go at that point. So
Now I'm going to put together a Spotify alternate track list.
There you go. Yep. That'd be a good deal.
But please. I really enjoyed this song. I like the way it closed the album, but right. I think it would have done a good job closing side one, start side two with Limelight.
Right.
But I kind of agree with what you said. If it was on side one, would it have gotten more radio play? Because when I listened to it today, I know I've heard that song before, but I don't ever remember hearing it on the radio.
Mm-hmm. They played on MTV a lot. That, like I said, that's
back in those days. I didn't have MTV. I was a poor little hillbilly kid in rural Kentucky.
Okay, but it was
actually come on.
Vital Signs was a video, and also was it Limelight?
Was Vital Signs a video?
Yes, Vital Signs is a video because it was in Lay Studios. I've seen that video 100 times. You go on the internet right now, you'll see it. Because it's the little vital. They got the little Vital Signs going across, and they're playing in that. In that studio, Lay Studio. Yeah, pull it up. You'll see it. And it's snowy outside. It's cold because they're in Canada.
All right, Bill, it's your turn.
This is the best song on the second side. Should have been the opener on the second side, in my opinion, and then the rest of it could have just fell off the plant.
Mr. Positive, go for
no,
it.
No, I'm not. I'm not being.
I know.
I'm not being negative. I'm just
you're actually being nicer to this album than I thought you would be.
No, so, there are good songs on the record. No. I'm not saying that. I don't like any 10-minute songs. I don't. No. I mean, it's just not. And I don't like stuff that's just instrumentals. It's not something I like it if it's music in the background of something. But to sit down and intentionally listen to it. Now, if you're chilling with some bourbon and having a drink and relaxing. No problem.
So if I had a time machine right now, we're gonna take you back. We're gonna go watch a Rush show. Who's going with me? Bill's not going. Are you?
I'm not going.
I knew you wouldn't.
No, I mean I
know Doug's gonna go with me. Me and Doug's gonna be drinking some beer, listening to Rush.
Because after the first three, play the four songs, I know I'm gonna be bored out of my skull.
Alan, you gonna go?
Now I would go see Rush. But back in that day, I would have told you in a heartbeat, hell no.
Wow.
Yeah, I just don't.
That's crazy.
I just don't think there's enough for me to sit for 4 hours. I mean, you guys talking about going for 4 hours. I'm like, I just want to die. I mean,
it wasn't 4 hours. It was.
Okay,
it was 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Almost 3 hours, but yeah, it was good.
The answer's no. I wouldn't want to go. I wouldn't even want to go Kiss for that long. I wouldn't want to see anybody really for that long.
Well, if you did Kiss that long, at least it would play something fucking new.
Well, if you did Kiss that
this
long.
This is a Rush review. Let's keep Kiss out.
I know. Sorry. We did it again, didn't we? It's a Kiss world.
All right. Well, there we go. We have reviewed and gave our honest and open opinions.
Masterpiece. I'm going to put it back in its plastic.
It's the num num rocker of the year.
Num num rocker.
It's the masterpiece known by Rush, known as Moving Pictures. Doug, you got any final thoughts before we head out of here?
He's looking,
keeping them to himself.
Oh, he's muted. He's got something muted.
You asking me?
Yes. You're Doug.
You're our guest.
Pleasure to be here with you, gentlemen. It's been a real, real treat, and also for you, Bill.
He said, "Gentlemen."
Gentlemen. He meant Alan and I. He doesn't care about.
Yeah. I was thinking, though, I would share this in closing on Moving Pictures as a huge Rush fan. The two reasons that I would go now, there aren't very many bands that are as authentic and genuine and different as Rush. And you go to a lot of shows and you go to a lot of concerts, and after 10 minutes or so, it all starts to sound the same. That will never, ever be the case with Rush. It is always unique, authentic, and it's one of a kind. And I don't want to get too sentimental or anything like that, but I've got a 17-year-old son now that when he was 12 was the last time they were touring. And, do I have it's not a regret, but man, I sure do wish I would have given my son a chance to see them live, because it is, I've never seen a show like it. And even though, Bill, to your point, it is three hours and 40. I mean, there's just nothing quite like it. And on the list of my favorite Rush albums, I would actually put Moving Pictures fourth on my list. So it's up there, but it's not quite as up there as some others. But it's been a pleasure hanging out with you guys tonight. Thanks. And if you ever talk about Def Leppard, especially Def Leppard, I'm a bigger Def Leppard fan than a Rush fan.
First Def Leppard. You want to talk about the first Def Leppard song record?
We did a review of On Through the Night.
You don't want to do this.
It wasn't a review. It was a fucking massacre.
Yeah, this was a masterpiece. That was a massacre. I think appropriate.
The thing is, for me, is I believe that this album was the one that brought Rush to the masses before Signals. Signals was a huge hit on MTV and all that stuff, but this was the first album that brought Rush, Tom Sawyer. Yeah. There's doesn't know that song.
Right, but to be honest, it's not the album that brought people to the masses of Rush. It's that single that brought the masses.
That
to
single
the, to,
brought, yeah,
yeah. So it wasn't the whole. I mean, people. I don't think people.
Well, bought, Limelight was also big.
Well, and, I think know. There were the singles that were released.
Sure,
did it. Right. The record as a whole may or may not. You don't know. You know, yeah. Back in Black, for example, that's. I mean, we talk about that. That record was just
right.
Front to back.
Well, it's a masterpiece on top of a masterpiece. So
yeah,
and Pyromania for Def Leppard.
Pyromania, another good example. Yeah,
they've got 6 or 7 top 20 songs on that album.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Guns N' Roses, Appetite. I mean, do I like it? No. Yeah. But it is that album. Man. I mean, it's
that album.
Riddled with hits.
I hit the skip button on the car driving to Pittsburgh. I'll bet you 8 times on Guns N' Roses. Skip.
I know.
Guns N' Roses, skip. Skip.
But we have just listened to that shit enough.
I just can't. His voice just, ugh. Okay. All right. So we're out of here. Alan.
Visit agesofrock.com. Check out our past episodes and social media links. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.